And mine neither.
Yeah, they were reminiscing about those days. I remember one time coming down with Jesse, and he really stunk as a navigator. So driving, we didn't have GPSs back then.
Hadn't been invented.
I was driving. But he stunk as a navigator, and we're driving and driving. And this should be about a four-hour drive. And he starts asking me, hey, Jay, did we miss a turn? Nah, we're going. 6-7 hours later, Jay, I think we should be there by now. Nah, don't worry about it, Jesse. It's coming up. Then, I don't know, 8 hours. All right, Jesse, I think I might have missed that turn. So, yeah, it's just a lot of fun times. And I remember when he decided to move down here. What a blessing. I'll let you guys decide for which side. No, Jesse and I, he was one of the first, of the teen group that I really started hanging out with and doing stuff with. So he has, I'll begrudgingly admit, he's been a blessing in my life. And it's something I was thinking about with Jonah when he was singing that song, and I don't even remember what he said, but can you imagine when we go to see the Lord, whether it's through the rapture or death, and we go up to him and we say thank you, and he has a look of surprise on his face? You ever wonder that? Like, thanks, Lord. You are? Never knew it. You know, and I have no idea what words you were singing. You didn't know half of them either, but that, but yeah, that for some reason that just came across my mind. And it's like, you know, or if we go up to him and say, thanks, Lord, and he looks at you in the eyes and says, I know, you don't have to say I know.
Amen.
You know, I don't know, that's what a dirtbag I am. And all God's people said. All right, let's pray and see what time is it.
How long do we go? I don't pay attention. Whatever, 30 minutes. All right.
So, Father, thank you, Lord, for church. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for believers. And thank you for a book, Lord, that we could all be united around, Father, and the Word of God. And thank you for Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Lord, help us to glorify you. God, if there's anybody here that's not saved, help them to see their need for Christ. Lord, see their sin debt and that it's going to be paid either by them or by Jesus Christ, who already has paid it and is willing to be their sacrifice. Lord, help us to be submissive to your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so Wednesday I was had something ready, and he said young guys, but I figured I'd be ready just in case, and then Ken preached, and then I remembered Ken is actually younger than me. So he said today, hey, you got anything ready? So we'll go with it. Go to Proverbs 29:18, and again, I don't like totally going with the theme of the holiday and all that kind of deal, but at the same time, as the year closes, you know, the Lord put on some things on my heart, and I have a list. I have, personally, I have four lists of goals, or as this verse uses the word vision, that I want to do. A spiritual one that, if you do have multiple lists, make sure your spiritual one is the highest, has precedence over the others. Then I have a personal one, a professional one, and a family one. So I guess the order would be spiritual, family, professional, personal. But let's look at Proverbs 29:18. And it says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So where there's no vision, the people perish. And guys, we're a church in Smyrna. So collectively, our vision ought to be Smyrna, Delaware. Amen. And that was, you know, Brother Bilbo, I suppose when he got here, and Pastor Ryman now, the vision is to get the gospel to Smyrna, Delaware, and if they don't get it, they're going to perish.
Yeah.
But then each one of us have a sphere of influence. You know, if you're dad, husband, you have your family. You know, if you don't have a vision, don't be surprised. And kids could go anyway, spouses could go anyway. You know, it's their heart. However, if you don't have a vision and you don't have something that you're working for, that you're trying to get them to strive for, it's going to be a lot easier. You know, they're left to their own devices, that kind of thing.
Amen.
So husbands, dads, you need to have a vision.
Amen.
Amen.
Mom, you need to have a vision. If you're home with the kids, you know, your husband's at work, you have to have a vision. What are they doing during the day? What do they see you doing during the day? Is it couching bonbons? Is it praying for them? Is it, you know, doing things, tending to the house the way you ought to? And then just single guys, everybody. We all have an influence. Like I said, I mean, Jonah in his song influenced me today.
Amen.
You know, I remember, you know, up in Connecticut, a kid 6 years old preached and, you know, got my heart stirred up about some things.
Amen.
So we all do. And
Amen.
I forget what holiday. I think it was Resurrection Sunday last year. We were up in Connecticut. And there was a girl there. And it wasn't at First Bible. We went to where my brother-in-law is going, because he hasn't seen the girls in a while. So we went there, and Jesse, you'll remember, Amanda Sparks. She was there, and I hadn't seen her. I left to go to the military in 97, and I don't even know if she was there up until then. But she sat in front of me, and so this is at least 22 years later, or 21 years later. She turned around and said, "Are you Jay Watson?" She remembered me from 2 decades ago. And back then, I really didn't do much, but it was just such a picture of, you know, how we influence each other and the ties and how intertwined we are with each other.
Amen.
So think about your sphere of influence. You know, Ethan, I know you're working. I know a bunch of guys are working, but you've brought it up at prayer and stuff, your coworkers and things like that, and others have too. Forgive me for forgetting about it. But that's your sphere of influence. You know, do you have a vision for work? You know, you guys that are going to work, do you have a vision? Do you have something letting them know that you're a Christian? So that's,
Amen.
You know, it's something to think about. And just a testimony for this book. It's such a wonderful book that, you know, a lot of the things I'm going to bring up are things that David touched on in Sunday school. And for the two of us to have a common thought, it's got to be the book. So using that as a segue, he mentioned And the thought is vision. You know, the Lord has a vision for us. He has a vision for everything. And inside of that is where our vision has to be.
Yeah.
You know, if we want to be, Jesse wanted to be a rock star, he wasn't going to do it and serve the Lord. The Lord was not going to be pleased if Jesse met his goal of being a rock star. He had, you know, he had to change that. He had to be obedient. And then now the Lord lets him play music, you know, for the Lord's people and give blessings through that. So we have to make sure that our vision aligns with God's. And let's look at a couple folks, and then we'll give out a challenge. Look at Genesis 39. Excuse me. And with our vision, they say, in the vision, we'll kind of use a word that, a synonym, a goal. They say goals should be the acronym is SMART. They should be specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. You know, don't just throw something out. You know, I want to lead 3,000 people to the Lord. Well, that's great. And maybe you can. I guess if you preach in front of, you know, like Peter or whatever, that could happen. But personal one-on-one, try to get something that's attainable. It's realistic.
Amen.
Otherwise, you're just setting yourself up for disappointment.
That's right. Amen.
So look at Genesis 39. Look at verse 8. And this is, we're jumping in with Joseph here, and we don't have a whole lot of time, so we'll get right into the point. And this is, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So you could see his vision. He didn't want to sin against God. His vision was to stay clean before God.
Amen.
He wanted to have that relationship. And then he maintained that, and he went through many trials, and, you know, the many things, the visions he had with the baker and the butler. But again, sake of time, we're going to jump to Genesis 50. And this is a very popular verse here. A lot of people use it, you know, regarding circumstances. But remember, Joseph's vision was not to sin against God. You know, how could I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He was not going to do it. He wanted no part of it. And as you guys know, he fled, left his coat with her. In Genesis 50, verse 20, you could see kind of the vision that the Lord had for the whole mess that happened. Well, starting 19, and Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." The Lord's vision for what happened to Joseph was to save much people alive.
Amen.
There was a purpose that he had to go down in Egypt for. So, you know, the brothers did what they did, but Joseph's, and again, what we're talking about here is lining your vision up, your goals with the Lord's vision and the Lord's goals. He was going to stay pure. He wasn't going to mess around with his master's wife. He wasn't going to mess around with any of that sin that he could have got into. And think of that elevated position. He could have had anything. He could have skimmed off the top, you know, of whatever he was doing, and his master would have never known, but he had a vision to stay pure before God. And then with that, and inside of that, God was able to perform the vision he had with Joseph, and that was to save much people alive.
Amen.
Let's jump to the New Testament. Get a guy from the Old Testament. We'll get a guy from the New Testament. Look at Philippians. Look at chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 4. Obviously, we're talking about Paul, but again, we're looking at his vision, and even though part of this is talking about before how he was trying to persecute the church, the thought is that through everything, he was always trying to please God. You got to remember, before Jesus Christ came around, if somebody came and went against the Jewish religion, you know, you didn't accept them readily. So he had to be shown, and Jesus Christ certainly showed Paul in a very memorable way that he truly was the Son of God, and he was who, you know, these apostles and disciples were saying he was. So start in verse 4, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous which is in the law, blameless." The righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Again, everything he was doing according to the law, if it was a false religion, he was blameless. There was nothing wrong with what he was doing if it was a false religion. And again, he doesn't mention it here, but in other places, you know, he learned at the feet of Gamaliel. So he always had that desire and vision to serve God. Pick it up in verse 7. "But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings, and be made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." So through that, you see the top couple verses were before he got saved, and after, in the last three or four verses were after he got saved. But you could see throughout the whole time, his vision, he always wanted to serve God. You know, until he met Christ and Christ knocked him off the horse, you know, he was doing it as a Jew, thinking that he was dealing with a false religion. But once he got saved, his vision never stopped. He was just serving God the right way, Amen. According to the, you know, the gospel of grace that we have. So that's Paul's vision. And again, we're talking about having your vision line up with God's vision. Go to Acts chapter 9. And this is, and what we're going to read, many people, I included, you know, would say, when I got saved, I'm glad the Lord didn't show me everything that was coming. And maybe we're going to read, and some of you guys already know the passage we're going to, but maybe he could show Paul, because Paul's desire always was to serve the Lord. And he always did it blamelessly as a Jew, and then after his conversion, when he realized who Christ really was as a Christian. So pick it up, 9, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, and he's talking to Ananias here, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So the Lord just went out and showed Paul the whole vision for his Christianity right there. Again, I don't think I would have been able to handle it, but Paul was certainly a different animal than me. But again, Paul's vision always, before he got saved, when he was just trying to be a devout Jew, he got saved, and then he became a devout Christian, was always to please the Lord.
Amen.
And even, I cut it short, verse 14 in Philippians 3 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So that vision, that goal that Paul had never waned. He always wanted to please God. And that's how we ought to be.
Amen.
You know, none of us that I know of who are Jews here, you know, can say what Paul said about himself being blameless as a Jew. But now that we're all saved, we all became new creatures in Christ, and we could all just press like Paul's pressing. And when we do it that way, our vision is going to be inside of his vision.
Yeah.
You know, it talks about walking worthy of the vocation wherein you're called. Can we say that? You know, are we even trying? And again, I'm with David also with the New Year's Day. It just seems like a nice day. He gets 2 weeks. I was happy with one day, and now he says 2 weeks, and now I'm envious. Never thought I'd envy David. But, love you, brother. But that being said, it's a new year, and it is a good day to kind of calibrate where you are, where your heart is, what you're looking at. It's a good starting point. So here's the challenge. You know, what are your visions? What are your goals? If you don't have any, why? Are you not paying attention? Go to Luke 19. We'll see even the Lord, when he came here, he had a vision. Luke 19 and verse 10, we're going to kind of pick it up for time's sake. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Very clear vision. I'm coming down there. You guys are lost. I'm coming to seek and save you. Whosoever will. I mean, that's our next verse we're going to look at, Romans 10:13. You know, we could say Luke 19, Jews, Romans 10, Gentiles. You know, it all works. 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That was his vision. Came to seek and to save that which was lost, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 2 Peter 3:9, we won't turn there for time's sake, but talks about he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Again, that's his vision. He came to save the lost, of which obviously all of us were. I'll look at 1 Peter 1 real quick, start in verse 18. And when you set a goal, when you have a vision, you need a plan to carry it through. You know, I heard, let's see, it was actually Herm Edwards, his old football coach. He had a quote that, I don't know if it's a known quote or just something he said that I caught on to, but said, a goal without a plan is a wish. You know, if you have this vision, you have a goal, you want to try to do something for Christ this year, and you don't set up any plan to get it done, you're just wishing.
Yep.
You know, if the wind blows the right way, you'll accomplish it. Well, you know, what are you doing that for?
Amen.
You have a vision, sit down, write out a plan, think of a plan, talk to pastor, talk to, you know, anybody that's been around a little while, say, you know, how can we do this? You know, what do you think of what I'm thinking? Get a plan, or else you're just asking for failure. Then, like Brother David was saying, you're going to look back at the end of December and say, oh, gee, why should I even make, you know, an idea for next year? I just messed up, you know, 2020 again. So let's look at 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained, before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. You see that plan part? Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. There was a plan put in place a long time ago for Jesus in Luke 19, verse 10, to come seeking to save that which was lost.
Amen.
You got to have a plan or you're just asking for failure. And then, as we know, Romans 10, 14, the end of that says, how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, don't talk about your hope. You know, we're here for Smyrna. Well, let's all have a vision and let's all have a goal that Smyrna gets saved.
Amen.
And now we'll all sit down and not pass out a track. How in the world is that going to work? We got to do something.
Amen.
So I asked, just kind of thinking out loud, why would you not have a vision?
Amen.
I could come up with three reasons. You could possibly come out with more. Number one, you're immature. And that could be newly saved. You're not in your Bible much, or you're just immature. You know, you don't care, was my second one. You don't care. You see the need. You know there's a need for whatever it is. On the buses, street preaching, just handing out tracts at work, at the gas station, whatever. But you don't care. You're saved. You're fireproof. And that's all that you're worried about. And some people, they don't want the accountability. You know, they don't want to. That's why, I mean, I have to tell people or else you could just go back in your cave.
That's right.
You know, if you have something on your mind, somebody that tonight just asked if I was willing to do something. Now, I know that person has a thought to do it. And if he doesn't follow through, then I'll call him out. But I'm not going to yet. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that. But he's made himself accountable. He's asked a few guys if they were willing to do something with him. And as far as I know, we've all said yes. Now he's going to follow up and get back to us. Brother Heath and I have been going to Spencer's Bazaar, and we're checking that out. We want to start setting up a schedule a couple times a month on a Saturday, ask people and rotate through the whole day on a Saturday.
Amen.
A couple times a month. So right now we're checking that out, and now I've made us accountable to you guys. But you got to have a plan. That's our plan. We're checking it out, seeing what's going on. And then we're going to say, hey, guys, who wants to join us? You know, what do you guys have for that? I'll just jump over to 1 Samuel real quick. And this, I haven't asked him, but I believe that Pastor would agree with this, that this is a pastor's plan, and it says man of God, and if you want, you could substitute church in there. But again, think of Smyrna in the context of this verse in 1 Samuel 9:6. And he said unto him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God, or you could think a church that believes the Bible, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass, as long as it's in the Bible. Now let us go thither. Peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. We want Smyrna to know Faith Baptist Church is a place that you could come,
Amen.
And we will show you the way that you should go.
Amen.
But we can't do it if we're just going to sit around.
All right, sir.
So the challenge to you is many ways. Number one, souls. You know, the challenges to you is, you have any thoughts about souls? Going out there. We go to Acme every third Saturday at noon. We're at Acme, passing out tracts, street preaching if there's enough people. We're starting to do Spencer's Bazaar. There's plenty of other places to go to. Like I said, somebody else today was talking about a prison ministry. He brought up jail ministry this morning. Did it perk up anybody else's ears? You know, anybody thinking of stuff? Other things that I didn't even mention. You know, if you're thinking of stuff, chances are somebody else is thinking. Get out there, put your foot out, ask people to help you, just whatever. You know, we need to do it.
Amen.
Finances, are you not giving? Have you had a vision of maybe tithing faithfully? If you're tithing, giving to missions. Just, you know, something in that aspect. Mention the buses, you know, getting on the buses. If you've had the desire to do it, I know they were trying to start another route. I don't know if they still are, but if so, they may need more workers.
Amen.
You have a vision to help there. And you could go on and on. You know, if you've been saved for a while, you ought to be at least available to disciple somebody.
That's right.
You know, if there's somebody newly saved, like Brother Earl's not here, but there was a guy he brought to play basketball, Robert, who got saved. And I've asked a couple times, you know, I led him to the Lord. Now I'm responsible for him. You know, I got to get him here. I ought to get his number from Earl, call him and say, hey, what's going on? You know, do we have that accountability, responsibility? You know, those of us who have been around a while.
Amen.
Or have we gotten content?
That's good.
Just some thoughts. We ought to have, you know, some of us make fun of the resolutions and all that, and they don't have to die. Again, if you don't have a plan, chances are it is going to die.
That's right.
You get a vision, get a plan, get somebody to help you with it, get somebody, you know, like I said, now I'm accountable, you know, Brother Heath and I with the Spencer's Bazaar Ministry that we're trying to do. I apologize, put you on the line too. But you know what? I need that. I need that big time. That's why I like to wear T-shirts that have scripture. That's why I love that maroon hoodie we got. I'm walking around, there's scripture on my back. It's got to be there, and hopefully I remember enough not to act like an idiot. So, I don't know, there's the challenge. You know, what's your vision? You know, is it biblical? If it's not, make it biblical. You have the same Bible that all of us have. Read it and see what God will have you to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, again for your word.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for the direction that it gives us, God, and that we can rely on it.